If God has trusted us with this crazy time, then he has trusted us with the ability to bring beauty, to celebrate life, to be at peace, to have faith that all will be well eventually in time. And so I do think that I think that it helped me a lot to realize as I look back through my life that yes, this is a very hard time. It's a crazy time. People are crazy. But if God born us in this time, it's because he felt that we could be equipped to live his light in the midst of a dark world.
Welcome to the Homeschool Compass Podcast. Today we're talking with homeschool trailblazer Sally Clarkson. Sally is the mother of four grown children who are faithfully serving the Lord all over the world. She's the author of many books that are loved by the Homeschool Compass community, including The Life-Giving Home, The Mission of Motherhood, Mom Heart Moments, and so many more. There are lots of different voices in the homeschool space, and many people putting themselves forward as experts, advocating different systems. But Sally is someone whose life and whose approach is bearing good fruit. And so she's someone that I think we can really trust and learn from. I'm so delighted to share my conversation with the wonderful Sally Clarkson. How
Here we
are
go.
you, Sally? It's so good to see you.
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be with you today. We've had crazy internet all over our whole county, and I've had different issues with different time zones on things, and so I was looking forward to being with your precious people today. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. I was just introducing you a little bit to our people. Many of them know you, of course, but if there happens to be anyone that's joining that's not familiar with you and your family, would you introduce yourself a little bit?
All right, I am Sally Clarkson. I have four adult children, and Sarah is the mother of two of my only grandbabies, and she lives in southern England. She graduated from Oxford with her master's in theology. She's a writer. She's written five books. She's an award-winning creative writer. She's gotten some wonderful just acclamations, which has been really fun for her. She's married to Thomas, who is an Anglican priest in England. Then there's Joel. He is getting his PhD at St. Andrews. He is the reader of the Green Ember series for Sam Smith, and he is a musician. And he and Joy have a lot of fun living together in St. Andrews in Scotland. And then there's Nathan, who is my filmmaker, writer, out of the box artist child, and he's produced three films and he's written five books, and he lives in New York City. And then I have Joy. I had three children, three miscarriages, and I had Joy when I was 42, and now she's the first of all the kids to finish her PhD. So everybody's kind of like, "How did you do that, Joy?" And she's a podcaster and also an author, so it's been really kind of fun. And we live in Colorado, or sometimes we live overseas. And Clay and I have been committed to the whole arena of home education for about 36 years.
Yes. Well, I am so excited for people to be getting your book next week when it comes out because I think this is what we've all been waiting for, who've been following you for a while. We are all wondering, how did Sally do it? How did she manage to home educate these children and produce such great fruit in their lives with their love of the Lord and the amazing things that they're doing in the world? So it is such a treat to be able to have that book as a resource for us.
Oh, thanks so much. I think it's something that people w wish that it would be a book of formula. Like, I did these 10 things, but somebody said the other day, "Wow, over a third of your book at the beginning is about shaping the character and the heart and the faith of the mom, and learning what it looks like to be a mentor, because Jesus said that the student will be like his teacher." And so I think so many times people run out and just buy $1,000 or $2,000 worth of curriculum instead of realizing that I pretty much just followed Jesus. I mean, he showed me how to mentor. He loved, he served, he washed dirty men toes, he made meals, but he inspired and he threw purpose out. And so I would just have my quiet times in the morning, and I would learn, and then I would pass it on to my children in the mornings, and we would read and read and read. And so really, it's a book more about the organic process of home and the profound importance for a parent to perceive themselves as a mentor, as a discipler, and that they're opening up not just intellect, but virtue and faith and habits and hospitality and manners, as well as opening up worlds of imagination to many great ideas and stories to their children. So education is much more of a whole life commitment. And that's kind of a synopsis of some of what it's about.
I love that beautiful picture of having this integrated life where you are not just dictating to them, but you're showing them and leading them by example. I think that's a beautiful thing. What would you say to parents right now who are just feeling so frazzled by all the stresses that we're facing in the world today? How can they remain grounded? How can they have that conviction so that they can lead lives that are really worth emulating for their children?
I think again, as we, I love the word compass in what you have for your title, because I think that our children kind of see us as the compass to life. And it's so, if God has trusted us with this crazy time, then he has trusted us with the ability to bring beauty, to celebrate life, to be at peace, to have faith that all will be well eventually in time. And so I do think that I think that it helped me a lot to realize as I look back through my life that yes, this is a very hard time. It's a crazy time. People are crazy. But if God born us in this time, it's because he felt that we could be equipped to live his light in the midst of a dark world. And so I think that I was talking to a young woman yesterday and I said, we all have the capacity to keep going, to nurture faith. Whatever we water is going to grow. Are we tempted to be fearful? Are we tempted to be, I call it brown, not quite black yet. I'm not quite dark inside, but I'm kind of browning out. And I think that to develop a plan, to develop habits, to develop anything that will carry us through, and also to choose in front of our children, to give them hope, to exercise faith, because they're going to go through hard times too. I'm waving at one of my kids. They're going to go through hard times too. And what they are watching us do is what they will most likely do when they're adults. And so I feel like it at least gives some purpose to our lives right now, that we've got to muster up a plan, some traditions, some ways of living life that bring goodness, beauty, and life. It's okay to use paper plates because all we're doing is cooking all the time and everybody's at home. And it's okay just to have popcorn and fruit for dinner. As a matter of fact, it's probably healthier and it's fewer dishes. We have to adjust ourselves. Last night, right about dinner time, we remembered an ice cream shop that we used to go to with my kids when they were little, and it's right across the street from the lake. So we drove over to this ice cream shop and we all had double scoop ice cream and then walked around the lake, and that was our dinner. And it was so good for us just to get out. And so I would say, breathe peace, give yourself some breath, but remember that you have the ability to trust God and to bring hope and to love well during this time. And you'll do even better if you take tiny little breaks for yourself.
Yes, that is so well said. I think it's important for our children to see, not that we need to fall apart in front of them all the time, but we can show them that hard things are going to come in life. This world is not going to be an easy place, and we're all going to have to trust the Lord in difficult circumstances throughout our lives. And so for us to be able to say, this is really hard, but this is what I'm going to do with this challenge. This is how I'm going to bring this to the Lord. That's
Yeah,
a beautiful way to parent.
I think I would say I remember back a time when we were starting our ministry, and we went for almost 5 years without a salary. We were totally out of money. You know, we had about a week of groceries left. And our kids were like our club. We were just a little gang. And so we said, you know, we know that God loves us. And, but we really need to pray hard. Will you join us in prayer? You matter so much. Your faith matters. And they prayed their little heart out. Mm-hmm. And then, I went back out and I said, now we're going to go out and we're going to have fun and we're going to do something wonderful together. And we went out on this long hike and, lo and behold, you know, it was just amazing how little by little they would see the Lord provide for us. And it's a, Mama, God's fingerprints are all over us today, because we call them God's fingerprints. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes people say, how did your children grow so strong? And I think it's because we had many hard times and they learned that life was hard, but they gathered around each other and walked through it with us. And so don't be afraid for your children to have hard times. However, children don't need to be exposed to all the crazy politics, all the terrible destruction and lives being taken, all the storms. We need to guard our children's childhood so that they can still believe and have hope and innocence and in being a hero in their own tale. I think that one of the things that parents need to do is find a place where they can pour out their woes and their fears to each other, but to really protect and give that innocent child a sense of mama is okay and daddy's okay. That means I'm okay.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Will you tell us a little bit about what the rhythm of your home life was? I know throughout Awaking Wonder, you tell us about some of the practices that you had as a family, some of the habits that you put in place, and I'm sure it changed very much over the course of your years as your children grew and changed. Mm-hmm. But what were some of those anchor points that you had in your daily rhythm that helped you to awaken wonder for your children?
Well, I think that the point of education is that it's taking place while you're washing dishes, while you're cooking, while you're at the table. A lot of education, I feel like the most profound education our children got were at our dinner table or breakfast table, because we talked all the time, you know. But I would say that it was more of a grid that I would look at. In the New Testament, Paul talks about, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Mm-hmm. And what he's talking about there is that there's this imagination inside, in our heart. And so I always had this grid that was looking for ways to open the eyes of my kids to ponder, to see the beauty of life, the goodness of life, to understand truth. And so we did have a lot of rituals and routines, because I needed for my kids to know what to expect so that they wouldn't always be mommy, mommy, mommy. So, you know, we had our, I had my quiet time in the morning and they would all come in and watch me doing it. And then, we would have our little breakfast and prayer time. And then the older kids would be cleaning up while I was reading books to the kid, to the little ones, picture books. Isn't this amazing? And I would cuddle them up, kiss them. And then we immediately went to our reading time, because as you'll read in the book, we didn't do, in general, we didn't do normal curriculum. We taught all the kids together. The only thing they did individually was really math and just a small bit of language arts. But we would read for 30 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on how patient they were, what the day was. And we read broadly. Then I would let them run outside. I'm just giving you kind of a little schedule. We had anchors so that, but within the anchors, and I made them read, or I made them have their own quiet time every afternoon where they read and they played and they were creative, and that was great. We had cleanup, then we had, you know, bedtime and going. But what I mean is, during all of these times, I filled our home as a place of resources. There were always bubbles and Play-Doh and Legos and puzzles and dress-up clothes that I got at Goodwill. And so, you know, I made resources in places all over the house, an easy tent that they could put together, you know, little plastic swords to be heroes. I made our home a place where there was always something to imagine, a story to write, and acting it out, something to be creative with, baskets of little books all over the house, magazines that we took out in their name that each had a magazine subscription, really colorful things sometimes. So I just tried to make where they lived a place of routine, of comfort, of tradition, and of inspiration.
That's wonderful. And then as they got older, how did you support them as they started to kind of each develop their own passions and you got a sense of what their giftings might be? How did you support them in that phase of their journey?
Well, I think every family is limited in money and in resources or time. So as they started moving to a little bit older, we would allow each of them to have one outside activity, because there was a time when my kids were in sports and in acting and in debate and in tennis, and that was crazy. So we kind of said, okay, what is the main activity that you want to be in this year? So we tried to help them pick things that would be good for them. And knowing that we were a traveling family, because we spoke at a lot of different places. But I think that it's real important for parents to honor their children's personality and to provide places where they can explore what they want to do. Clay would take the boys to this Christian magicians conference every year, because Nathan had learned how to juggle, had learned how to do magic shows that he could use the gospel in. He took the boys to musical festival in St. Estes, Estes Park, because there are musicians who had come from all over the United States. So Joel, he really encouraged Joel's musical habits by saying, let's go celebrate, let's go see what's going on. We would look for concerts, places to take them. I took my girls to a French cooking class because I wanted them to love cooking, and it was a way for us to spend time together. We tried to cultivate places where they could be involved in the things they had. Joy was a docent at a historical museum for a couple of years. So we would look for things that particularly undergirded what we felt were their personalities. And there's so many options now that you have to, well, not now, during COVID there aren't. But, you know, we just would always say, God, give us an idea of what might spark an interest that we have already seen growing in their lives.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I wonder if you could speak for just a minute, Sally, to the people who are just getting started with homeschooling in this year. We're hearing from lots of people all the time who are wondering what curriculum they should get and how they should get started. And I really love your focus on putting the relationship with your child first, and that connection being kind of the foundation that you build from, not so much picking the right materials. But what do you say to those people who are kind of frantic right now trying to figure out what they're going to do?
Well, there's several things. One, I would say all of us have been frantic. I mean, all of us who've homeschooled forever have been frantic. It's an auspicious responsibility, and none of us are perfect. But I would say, understand that this is a special time for you to stand back and say, what might, if this time ends sometime soon, what have I always wanted to give to my child? And I think that the more and more young women that I see, I've met many women this year who've said, I never felt loved by my parents. My parents never had time for me. And so I think if you could just see this year as a time where you're going to look in eyeball to eyeball into your little children's eyes and say, God, show me what is their personality? What are they like? What motivates them? And then if you can determine that the foundation of all influence begins with unconditional love. And I think if all you did this year, if all you did was to love your child well by giving them time, you know, I call it routines of love, that if when they walk in the door in the morning, the kitchen door, you know, you go, I am thrilled that I get to be your mama, or I love you, or you're the cutest thing I've ever seen, or you kiss them or hug them, whatever you do, imagine what a child would be like if that was the voice in their head the rest of their lives. Or when you put them together to bed at night, you go, I just adore you. Tell me the best part of your day. Kiss them, you hug them, you pray a blessing. So I would say for new homeschooling parents to understand that education happens over many years, but this is your chance right now to be able maybe to pass on just a legacy of a relationship. And I would look at your house and say, how can we make our home a place of life-giving? And life-giving can be a place where We can have routines. We can eat together. Eating together, this is such a crazy thing, but eating together increases the, like every night they've done these tests, increases the vocabulary of children by something like 20 to 30%. Just eating together, because you talk and you pass on concepts and share ideas and you talk about what you've been reading today. And I would say to parents that home has always been enough as a place to create genius. We look at Michelangelo or Beethoven or Bach. I've been using him a lot lately. There's so many more people. Sandra Day O'Connor, Madame Curie, all of these people became who they are. They accessed their potential when they grew up in a home where they felt belonging, where they had freedom to explore, and where they felt loved. They say that if a child, any child, is given a place to belong, a place to feel secure, a place to feel loved, that they outperform just from those three factors in every area of life, any other person, because to not have that stability and that love hinders them from learning, from becoming, from friendship. It's just this magical thing. So you already have everything you need, the ability to create love, to, you know, eat together, talk when you're in the car, put on books on tape in your car. Don't stress, because your child is going to be fine and you're going to find your legs. Don't go out and buy thousands of dollars of curriculum, but buy great books that'll encourage you and resources that are easily attainable.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. For show notes, as well as links to all Sally's books, including her newest book, Awaking Wonder, head to homeschoolcompass.com/podcast. And if this podcast has been an encouragement to you, would you please leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and share this episode with a friend? We know that homeschooling can be very isolating, especially for those who don't have support from friends and family. And all of your likes and subscribes and shares help other homeschoolers to find us. It could make a world of difference to someone who's lonely. We hope this podcast helps you find confidence in community and help in the wisdom of those who've come before. Until next time, remember you are loved and you are not alone.